Really? If Christians had been voting since the year 2000 like they were supposed to, we'd be in a different set of circumstances. But we don't. We got people still thinking they're going to overrule the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court said, no, that needs to be turned over. And yet we have a president who thinks that he's going to sign a paper from his desk that's going to overrule. It's an illegal law. This is the mindset we have today, folks. But it is not our God. Our God is a good God. Are bad things going to happen? Absolutely. And again, I've talked about this to you before about how we look and say, well, God is in control of all of this. He gave us the keys. When he gave us the keys to the kingdom, when he gave us the keys and the authority back in the garden, he said, Tom, you're in charge. Angela, you're in charge. When Jesus said, it is finished, he said, I have done all that I can do for you. I have now freed you from sin. You need to pull your big boy pants or your big girl pants up and take charge of this situation. But we choose to be subjects. I love how people like to throw out there that we're kings and priests. But we don't act like it. We're ruled by our emotions. You know, a king, a leader, really can't be ruled by their emotions. Can't be led around like a puppy on a string. Here, little boy, you just would be submissive to whatever it is that yanks your chain. That's why I was talking about that. How many people lost their peace? That's the spirit that's in this world right now. And the one thing the devil can't take is your peace. You can give it, but he can't take it. He can't take it because he didn't give it to you. And we let him have it because we don't really understand who God is sometimes. And I'm going to tell you right now, we all get to know God a little bit differently. You know, I'm sure when, you know, I mean, I don't know, we've never talked about this, but when Bob's out in his tractor and he's planting or he's harvesting, there's an aspect of God other than my garden I don't get to see. But when I'm working, building a piece of furniture or working on my house, I get to see that side of God. Or you teachers, when you're teaching your students, don't forget Jesus was a teacher. And he taught. Or maybe you're helping people feel better about themselves. Whatever it is you do. I want you to understand how great our God is. He's not an empty idol stand that says the other God, the unknown God. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the all-powerful force. The difference between us and animals, he never breathed into them. He breathed into man the breath of life. We are spirits. The animals are not. They have souls, mind, will, and emotions. Trust me, my dog has got lots of soul and a lot of attitude sometimes. But that's where we all have a soul. That's who we. That's what makes us up. But our spirits, that's from God. That's the part that lives on. Now, I don't know if God, I'm sure God's got animals up in heaven. Why not? He gave them to us to enjoy. There's some things I want to look at this morning. Let me find my little remote. In Luke, or as you were, Mark, I was looking at several different scriptures here. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus is sitting down talking. Again, this we'll call this another red letter message. Jesus has been sitting down talking to people. And he starts up. He says, then those who went... Maybe I gave... I did put Mark, didn't I? Can you change that to Luke for me? Same numbers, just Luke. This is what happens when you get distracted. I started to write Matthew. Oh, no, because I was looking at Matthew. And then I wrote Mark. And it's actually Luke. Whoops, too far. We look around at people. Why do you have that? Why do you need that? Don't worry about them. Worry about yourself. If you're going to worry about anybody, worry about yourself. The day that, I'll tell you when you're fully deceived is when you say, I have arrived, I'm okay. I'm good to go. I'm not saying that you think you're a dirt ball and need to be beaten all the time. There was a leadership trait that we had in the Marine Corps. Know yourself and seek self-improvement. Know who you are at all times and seek to be a better you. You know, I know Dave's a pretty good guy. But Dave knows himself better than I do, and Dave can say, hey, maybe I need to adjust here. I know myself better than anybody. And I'm like, hey, whoa, you need a couple more clicks to the right on that. Make some adjustments. Don't keep missing the mark. Good to go? All right, thank you. Whoops. So I say to you, these should be read. These are Jesus' words. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Have you ever asked God to help you? Have you ever sought him on, God, where am I failing? Guess what? God's not going to say, sit down for a while. He'll say, let's start right here. When I've asked God over the years, I said, God, what? Why did you help? Why did you take the desire for one thing from me right away and I had to fight? He said, I took that which would kill you the quickest. Not that sin doesn't, but it would have killed me faster and I'd have never got to hear. So you've got to ask God, oh, by the way, be ready for the answers. God's not your BFF. He's your God. He's your Father. He doesn't want to rip your heart out, but he wants you to change because the devil wants to rip your throat out. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Keep those parts in mind here in a second. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, then being evil, I love how he did that. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I think Matthew actually says, give good things to those who ask as well. But why did he mention the Holy Spirit? Because it's the Holy Spirit that is leading us. Jesus is not here. God the Father is not here. He sent his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it is advantageous that I go away. So anybody that teaches that Jesus is here is a liar. It's His Holy Spirit. Because it was more advantageous for us now to have that. Jesus did His part. The Holy Spirit needs to do His. And He leads us and He will guide us. There might be things you say, I really don't need that. Why do I need 10 of these? Why? Is it because you're sad? Is it because you're trying to fill a hole? Seriously. But look up there again at the top. He said, if you then being evil, Jesus is referencing Genesis when God looked down and He said to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, man is evil. All of his thoughts are evil. Now we're not talking evil villain plotting world takeover and weapons of mass destruction all the time. We're talking, how can I screw them over? How can I mess with somebody else's head? Maybe stupid things like that. Or how can I have it all and not need anybody? Can I say this? You're a fool. We need each other. God looked down from heaven, saw Adam struggling, and He said, it is not good for that man to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. And here's why I said, going back to seek and you will find. You have to seek the answer. If God gives you the answer, why don't I have more friends? Right? Anybody ever ask yourself that? Why don't I have more friends? Do you try to be friendly? The Bible actually said if you want friends, you need to be friendly. Who wants to be friends with a bitter sourpuss? I can get along with people that are like that. I don't really want to be their friend. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that poison. People that are just looking at death, gloom, and destruction all the time. What fun is that? Where's the joy that is supposed to accompany your salvation? Then he said, but he called man evil. Are you an evil person? Cheryl, are you evil? Not by our standards. No. Morgan's not evil. So why did Jesus say we were evil? Because there was one time Jesus was teaching and people came up to Him and they said, good teacher. And Jesus stopped them after they made their request. And He said, why do you call me good? There's only one who is good. See, God's standard of good and ours be a bit different. Because God, Jesus, said we were evil, but yet we knew how to do good things. See, there's what you need to start understanding about Christianity. Christianity does not automatically make you good. Has anybody ever met a rotten Christian? Yeah, we can all shake our head yes to that. I can't believe they're a Christian. Well, see, what Christ came to do was not to change who you are. That's up to you. Seek and you will find. I want to be a better person. Paul was killing people thinking he was doing good. He held the robes while they stoned Stephen to death. Possibly as the instigator against him. Paul thought he was a good person. He was zealous for God. And yet, by the Christian standards, he's evil. You know, when he got saved, nobody wanted to hang out with him. He had to create his whole new realm of friends. Him and Peter couldn't get along. I mean, two hotheads, come on. Oh, how dare you say that about Paul? Well, I know that about Peter, and I'm just guessing that Paul was a very, I'm going to do it my way type of person. Yours is the highway. Just based on what I can read. So Jesus wasn't looking at the good things they had done. He said, you're evil, but yet you know to do good for your children, right? How much more will your heavenly Father? How much more will God give you the things that you ask for? Well, Pastor, I didn't win the Powerball. What were you going to do with 2 point whatever billion dollars? 54% of it right off the bat comes out for taxes. So now you're only stuck with about a billion. I know, boo-hoo, right? What are you going to do? Well, I appreciate you tithing. However, do you know what that would require for me? Not to trust God. Tithe on 2.7 billion. I think it was 0.7. That's what we're going to run with. 2.7. $270 million. I would never have to trust God for anything ever again. Neither would you. You're self-sufficient. You following me? And when we don't trust God for things anymore, we self-destruct. We don't have to do anything anymore. I don't want to do anything. What am I going to do? I'm going to get into trouble. The old saying, idle hands are the devil's playground, right? Hold some value to it. Well, this is who I am. I'm powerful now. I have money. Yes, you would become very powerful. You'd become a dictator. You would become evil. On our standards. Try to tell people what they're going to do. Because I've got money. Do you know who I am? No, and I really don't care. So you bought a $2 ticket. Do you know who I know? I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and universe, of earth and heaven, who created all that we see, who created you and me, fearfully. That means he gave that thing some thought. When he was creating Angela, he looked. He said, I'm going to take a little bit of Bob. I'm going to take a little bit of Angela. I'm going to pull some of her grandpa out of her. I'm going to throw a little bit of Grace in there, her grandma. A little bit of her grandma Kate. And then I'm going to wrap it all up. He thought about it. Well, I don't know why I do this. Why, of all the traits I could inherit from my grandparents, why did it have to be that? Because it didn't have to be a bad thing. My grandpa had some traits. I look back, it's like, holy moly, I got that. I do that. He didn't do good things with it. I've told you before, my grandfather was a moonshiner, right? He was also the town constable. Put two and two together. During Prohibition. Yeah, he wasn't telling on anybody. He was getting them heads up. Hey, revenuers are on their way. Hide your still. Would I have done any different? I don't know. I'm not in no shoes. I try to do good. By what even good is our standard. You see, when you ask God for something, sometimes the answer is no, and we need to accept that. Not because it's a no forever. It's a no because you're not ready. A 10-year-old is not ready for the responsibility of a car. Never known one. I mean, I allowed Joshua to drive my truck on job sites when he was six. With me standing on the top of the the ladder rack as scaffolding, doing work. Thank God when he learned how to easily push the brakes. I came close to going airborne a couple times. But you know what? He learned how to do that by his grandpa saying, hey, go over and get the truck and bring it back across the field. I'm like, well, if grandpa trusts you with his truck, I can trust you to drive along the edge of this porch. But he was not ready at 6 for a truck. And he has proved himself over and over and over again. As a parent, as a good father, I'm only going to speak from the father's point of view. It's the only one I know. It's my job to train him up. No, you can't have the truck right now. But one of these days, you can. And you will. And he has. So sometimes God's answer is no. And we get used to hearing no, don't we? When you get told enough, you know enough, you won't ever go back and ask again. Because it wasn't the right time. Carmen had a song years ago, and Angela and I, once we started church, we were like, oh my goodness. The desire is the confirmation that the destination is there. The desire in your heart. See, I know your heart. He's coming. He's coming. It's just not the time. You don't want just anybody, do you? You don't want somebody that's going to verbally abuse you, hit you, smack you around. I mean, I hate to go help your dad put him in a hole in the ground. They won't find him, right? The time. I used to walk the woods. My mom brought it up. Man, you remember walking in the woods? I said, how can I forget? I spent a lot of time in the woods. Who needs a compass? I know right where I'm at. God, what is wrong with me? I know I'm not ugly. All these girls say they like me, but nobody wants to go out. Oh, wait a minute. I ain't got a car or a job. And that was not my doing. The truth of the matter was, I was in disobedience. I knew where I was supposed to be because I had a journey. And the second that I got into that obedience, see, a lot of people, we forget that. Obedience is key. See, even now, my boy, my youngest, needs to know, and he knows, the car is his as long as I say it is. He can drive to school. He doesn't have to drive that annoying yellow bus at 6:30 in the morning. He can wait and leave at 7:15. He leaves at 7:30 now. Yeah, so I mean, it's not like, but it's a privilege. But we have to ask God. Seek. I need self-improvement, Lord. I know I got attitudes and things that need to change. And when they change, then God starts to move. By the way, let me tell you what God does. He doesn't require you to ask anymore. He brings it about. You just have to be willing and obedient to step out. To go for it. Seek His will. His will. And if you haven't heard from God for a while, go back to where you were the last time you heard Him. What happened? Well, I chose not to do this, or I chose to do this. Disobedience is disobedience. And God will meet you there because that's the last order He gave you. That was the last order. You know, we in the military can get a little bit hairy when getting orders because, you know, a lot of people are over top of you if your rank's not high enough. So the question would come up, okay, Sergeant Smith gave me an order. 15 minutes later, Sergeant Jones came along and gave me an order. Whose order do I obey? Last order given. If this guy stepped on this guy's toes, that's their problem. If you don't outrank this guy, you have to obey. Because your promotion warrant says, and I do hereby strictly charge any and all personnel of lesser rank to obey all lawful orders. Which I always love that lawful part. Yeah, I ain't doing your laundry, Jack. That ain't lawful, and I'm not in trouble yet. So you go back to the last order God gave you. I told you to talk to this person. I told you to give that panhandler $10. You go back to the corner. They're not there. God, how can I give somebody $10 if they're not there? Because they were your test then. You repent. That's what you have to do. You have to repent of it. That you disobeyed God and you missed that opportunity. Whether it was a real person or whether it be an angel, as Paul said, doesn't matter. Now James, he went on to tell us, why do you war? Why do you fight amongst yourselves? Why is one side of the church against the other side? Why is brother against brother? Father against son? That garbage can happen. Why are we warring? Why is this church fighting against that church? We're all the body of Christ. All you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord, and you're my brother. Rapture does not matter. Speaking in tongues does not matter. Got me? It's salvation. That's what Jesus brought us. Because if we're going to argue the differences between whether we speak in tongues or we don't speak in tongues, whether we burn our dead or we don't burn our, or we bury our dead, whether we baptize them completely or we just dribble on them, or whether we heal or we don't. Well, if we're going to do that, we can just join the cult Santa Rita. There's some pretty high falutin Latino stars and celebrities who practice it. It's borderline voodoo. It's actually about possession of a demon. But their number one thing is they have to learn a new language and they heal. Two of the stupidest things for us to fight over. You know what? Enjoy your life. I'm filled with the Spirit. I speak in tongues. And I'm here to tell you right now, I would rather have it than not. Because it builds me up. I'm not casting curses. The Holy Spirit is speaking the Word of God into existence into my life right then and there. Or whoever it is I'm praying for. I was coming down the road 2 weeks ago and was driving and I was just like, man, the Holy Spirit came over me to start praying and I began to pray and, you know, out loud there in my truck. Well, I was also listening to Demon Hunter. So they're just kind of a hardcore metal Christian group and sometimes their songs can get a little fast. I'm going to tell you right now, you praying in tongues at the speed of that kind of music, the devil didn't know what hit him. Especially when the song, I don't remember the song now, but the group's name was Demon Hunter. Evidently, I was hunting demons because I ran into somebody that day who was just beside themselves. They were so distraught that they were crying here. And I said, when did this start taking place? And the person told me it was earlier. And I said, well, I think God told me to be praying for you. So know that God's got your back. But he said, we ask amiss. He said, why don't you have these things? Well, I think the preacher should be poor. I don't. Sorry. And even if this wasn't my job, I wouldn't be poor. It doesn't keep me humble. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Poverty keeps you humble. No, poverty keeps you poor. It keeps you poor and begging. But he said, you ask amiss on all this stuff because you want to spend it on your pleasures. He said, you have not because you ask not correctly. God, I see a need, and I want to fill that need if it's your will for me to do that. You know, I had a concern. I've had a concern for about a month. And I didn't know what to do about it. So I'm like, this is going to get pricey. This need. It wasn't just a need. It was, I got to do something. And I didn't realize until the other night, I never asked. And remember what I told you? When you start walking in obedience, you don't even have to ask. He already knows. Didn't he tell us that? I think it was in Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry about this stuff. Your Father knows what you need. I had a need. Now for you, it might not seem like a big deal. For you, you might go, well, you're sitting pretty. And I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. And I followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved on me to do something, and I did it. And in return, got blessed for it. See, that's what we have to be doing. There will be times you don't have to ask God. Because He knows your need, He knows your desire, and He brings it all right around. But you have got to be obedient. If you're in disobedience, guess what? You're going to fight an uphill battle. Because you're fighting against God, because guess what disobedience really is? It's your pride. I know better for my life. Well, you know, I'm not pride. That's not why I did it. I'm afraid. What do you think fear is rooted in? I don't want to put myself out there and get hurt, right? I don't want people to know that I failed. That's pride. Get rid of it. If you fail, so what? So what, right? At least you tried. How about the coward still sitting on the steps? Oh, I bet it'd be nice to go out driving. We'll go get a car. Well, I ain't got a job. I don't have money for a car. We'll go get a job. I ain't got that. That, by the way, that's the thing in America. We need I need a job to get a car. I gotta have a job to get the car. Gotta have the car to get the girl. But that's the way it used to work, right? You show up in a car. Here's the way it works now. I got to find a girl who's got a job, who's got a car. That's the way it is now. It's sad. And I'm not saying that you young women and women in general cannot work. That's not what I'm saying at all. Again, I'm only speaking from a guy's point of view. The Bible never condoned at all saying a woman could not work outside the house. It is beneficial for you to be able to stay home when you can. But it means somebody's going to work harder, so you just remember that. There's a price that has to be paid. if we will be obedient and just ask God, is this what I do right now? And you wait until, as that last song we sang said, let the peace of God reign. The peace that the world can't take away from you. Let that peace reign over your life. Don't worry about what the world says is going to happen. The world doesn't know its head from a hole in the ground. It really doesn't. Nobody can tell us what's going to happen after January 1st. You can't tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't tell me what's going to happen at 12:30 today. So why worry about it? Why stress out? Stay on the plan that God has for you. Well, if he comes back, there's no point. Here, let me tell you something. I know people that thought, Jesus is coming back in my lifetime. I'm not making plans for retirement. They're retired. With no plans. And they still got the mindset that God's just going to keep pouring money into my hands. It don't work that way, folks. When you've been disobedient, he has mercy. But if you're disobedient, yeah, you don't deserve. You got to go back to here and say, okay, I can't fix it. Father, forgive me. I repent of my stupidity. We're going to call it that. Amen? We're going to call it stupidity. Stupid is in the Bible. At least it is in mine. I didn't put it there. It was the translation. Because it goes against what is right. It's stupid for me to go in here, open up this panel completely, take the front cover off, and reach up here and grab those wires. Johnny's laughing back here because he knows what's about to happen. You're going to hear your pastor sing at such an octave that dogs can't even hear it. Bats, maybe. That's stupid. I was changing receptacles in my mom and dad's house a couple weeks ago, and I shut the breaker off. I'm not usually the guy that shuts the breakers off. I can do it without them. A couple times I got in bit, and it's like, yeah, why didn't I just go shut the breaker off? I had the breaker tripped, and I'm moving down the line. I go to the one. Here's one receptacle. Here's the other. I just go right over here. Okay, we're going to change this out. And I sit down on my little stool, and I just start, I'm like, Have you ever gotten that nerve in your wrist where you just pinch it just right and it feels like you got shocked? Well, when you've been shocked and you pinch that nerve, you think you just got shocked. So I'm like, oh, man, I got that nerve again. I'm sitting there, and next thing I know, I tripped the breaker. No, some moron ran a circuit off of another circuit and stuck it in the same room. And it was live. And it hurt. That was an accident. That's stupidity. See the difference? I was playing the game the way it's supposed to be. You shut the breaker off, you go do your work. And by that time, by the way, just so you know, I let my guard down. That's why I got shocked, because it was supposed to be dead. If we will ask God to seek him, we knock on the door. If the door don't open it. I told somebody once, I said, well, you know, God didn't open the door. I said, well, look for a window. Well, we're not thieves. We're not crawling through a window. I said, that's not what a window's for. So evidently, you are a thief because your mind went there first straight away. What is a window for? To look through. See why God didn't open the door. Watch what happened. You didn't go through the door for a reason. When God opens that door, it's smooth sailing. Not saying the devil's not going to try to throw up some sand in your face. It's just saying it's going to be a lot easier than otherwise. Knock on the doors. Don't be afraid. Well, he might say no. Keep moving. Oop, that door wasn't it. Oh, the door open. You want to go out? All the other girls said, sure, we can go out sometime. Great. When? When works for you? The only rejection that kind of made me mad said, you're cute, but you're a little short. I'm not going to lie, I didn't take that one real well. But in the same sense, I thought, you're cute, but you're 6'2". So, I'm not really the problem. Yeah, I digressed. But you keep knocking. Right, guys? You kept, hey, why do you think I went to the mall? It's not because I had money. For those of you that don't remember malls, there are those buildings we used to have all the stores. All the men would sit in the middle generally. And if it was old men and young men were there for the same reason. They were checking out the girls. And the dads, they were just tired. But you still looked. You kept looking. And when you're married, you quit looking. It is a hard habit to break. Not going to lie about that. Especially because I'm a people watcher anyhow. I watch people. And I've sat and I've told with Angela there, here, watch this. She's like, what? I said, I've been watching this guy for a half hour. Sounds like you're a little bit of a creeper. No, I just watch people. By the way, you want to know who else was a people watcher? Jesus. He watched people. He could figure out things with people by watching them. So if you're wanting to move forward, make sure you've been obedient. If you haven't, ask for forgiveness. And then ask God. God, what about this? Do you have the desire? Is the desire really there? Or is this something you're creating? Well, I got to have a desire for something. No, is this desire real? Is it from God? The desire from a desire placed in you by God will create one of two things in you. First one is peace. The other one, it might generate a little bit of anxiety. God, I've never done that. But if you're really following God, the second you say yes, that peace will take over. God, I've never gotten up in front of people like this. Trust me, I had a little bit of anxiety when we started here. I thank God it was in my dining room. I thank God I had that tiny little plate to hold on to. I thank God I had spent 5 hours the night before typing out everything I was going to say. Word for stinking word. Amen. Didn't have to travel far for lunch after that, though. Just didn't have any place to sit and eat it anymore. Because we got rid of the table. But you see, you'll grow into what God has for you. I always had a little, and you'll find God will work with your natural abilities, just so you know. I've seen people talk up here, and I could tell you right then and there, they were ready to crawl inside themselves if they could. Their nerves were taking over, and they were like, I don't know what to do. You know, you folks that have been up here singing or even asked to come up and say something, these are your friends. They don't have rocks in their pockets. They're not going to throw apples at you. And if they do, catch them and eat them. God will use the natural abilities you have. You stand and say, well, I could never get up in front of people. Trust me, I would rather have been cleaning the toilets. But there was this natural ability from the time I was little. I was either too dumb to know that fear, Or it was just never really in there. When I was four, back then it was called midget wrestling, so don't nobody get offended. I was in Cleveland, and my dad and a friend, they went to this exhibition match. We were up, way up here, and the guy said, "Well, you're almost as big as they are. I bet you could whoop them." And I don't remember who it was said, "Why don't you go down there and whoop them?" They had to run to catch a four-year-old who was on his way down to jump in the ring to fight. Actually grown men. Because I didn't know any better. Sometimes we need to just be like that, don't we? I don't know any better. I obey God because I don't know any better. Oh, by the way, if you're obeying God, there is no better. So just trust that if he tells you to step out of your comfort zone for a little bit, he's got you. And eventually, you know, when you're standing up in front of people that you don't know, your stomach's not trying to crawl through your heart and take it out through your throat. You'll just get comfortable. And you'll find one or two people you make eye contact with that are friendlies. All right, let's stand. If you don't know that God is good, try him. Get to know him. Find out. Because you don't know who he is if you don't know that he's good. God's not waiting to, Tim, he's not waiting up there to smack you upside the head. He's not. He's not waiting there to jerk a knot in my tail, or as my ag instructor you say, snatching me bald-headed. Where were the days when teachers could do that? My teacher's like, Maybe he did get me once. I saw this evil. This thing is evil. It's a checkout camera at Meijer. It's right over top of your head. It's evil. It lies. I'm like, whose head is that? That's mine. Find that spray paint. Yeah, I know they do. I always used to tell the story. They said that if you're going bald front to rear, you're a lover. If you're going bald from back to front, you're a thinker. If you're going bald from front to back, you think you're a lover. No, I said it right. I said it right. Don't take my thunder. That's all I got. Everybody knows I tell dad jokes, so. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father. Okay, Phil's got something. We're going to stop. He knows who he is.
Once again, we love you guys, and we want to bless you with this token of our appreciation for all that you do for us.
Thank you.
For feeding us, for loving us, for watching over us, and showing us everything that we're supposed to be doing and guarding our souls. That's the most important thing you can do for us. And we do really appreciate that. We love
Thank you. And thank you. Thank you guys very much. I know I say it every year, but this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is, I love it. It's scary sometimes. Just kind of like becoming a parent for the first time. Am I going to break that thing? But I will say this, and this year has been a rough year for many people. It is a joy to watch you rise up above the problem as you trust God with it, as you move on. You're going to see what he does. And that's all I can tell you. That's all I can do, because I'm doing the same thing That's why I know God probably isn't going to let me win millions and millions of dollars, because then I don't need him, or I think I don't. And I don't want to be somebody that thinks I have to build a new house every 2 years just to keep you motivated. That's not right. But I will tell you this. I may put this towards new rims for my truck. My new truck. If you hadn't seen it. I tell you that because that's God. That was obedience. Pure and total. And I'm not bragging on, I didn't do anything, God did it. Trust him. And he will. You will eat the good. Somebody once told Bob and Carol, they said, if you will trust God, you will fly first class. We were driving to those meetings at that point. And then we trusted God and we started flying. And I get, if we trust God, he'll give us the best. Amen. Amen again. Thank you guys very, very much. We do love you. Now we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you and we praise you. Father, we thank you. You are a good, good Father. You're a good God. Lord, I thank you for the many good things you've brought into our lives. Father, how you've moved in the midst of death and destruction. Lord, I thank you that you're continuing to open doors. And Father, as we believe and we trust you and we step through those doors, that we have that peace that you are there. Because our government didn't give it to us. Religion didn't give it to us. You gave it to us. So Father, I thank you. I thank you for the experiences I've had in my own life and that I can be an example. But Father, I thank you as I look around here today at the many examples I see of people trusting you in the midst of all the thing the world's throwing at them. Father, I bless them. Thank you for their faithfulness and how they're moving. And Lord, I thank you right now that you're going with them. You're blessing them. You're moving in their lives. Father, I thank you that you're opening the doors that they're ready to go through when they're ready. Father, I pray that you give them courage to knock, courage to ask, and strength to go through. In Jesus' name, amen.